I'm not usually a huge proponent of this, but I think for middle school, for this idea that I'm about to say.
Oh, okay. I was
give
like,
him a
wow.
chance.
All right,
man.
Jake, yeah. the door's right there.
But I'm glad we're doing this slice for you, Jake.
Yeah.
We're convincing you the Bible's important.
Is it working?
Hey, everybody.
Hey. Hello.
Welcome to a slice of Pizza and Side Hut.
Gosh, this just makes me want to eat pizza. I think that should become something that we do is just have pizza.
I love that idea.
Yep.
Right into the microphones.
Yep. That
gross.
Just chew and chomp. Yep.
Ew.
Yep. Hey, that sounds great, everybody. So we are doing something called slices this season.
Yeah.
So a slice is just a portion of your typical episode. So usually we hope to do some practical tips or maybe talk about a nuanced side of youth ministry, something that's more like a quick hit. So these won't be as long as our normal episodes, and this is our first one. And so our first slice episode we really want to talk about here is, Jake, why don't you intro the topic?
Today we are talking about sticking with Scripture, and so we're really excited to talk about Scripture, the Word of God, one of the two major components of the deposit of faith.
One would say Scripture comprises the truth of the triune God.
One might.
One would say that. But I guess, you know, what we wanted to talk about briefly is at the end of your youth ministry program that you're a part of, do you feel like students are even literate in Scripture? I think sometimes this is a place where we fall short. They know about salvation history. Can they pray with the Psalms or draw conclusions to big questions in their lives with help from the Gospels? You know, can they even navigate the Bible? And so we want to do some quick hits about how we include and stick with Scripture better in our youth ministries today. So we want to go around the horn and share a few ideas of one way you've seen Scripture used or taught really well in youth ministry.
Okay, so the first thing for me is, are you giving your kids a Bible?
Yeah.
Like, you mean like gifting them a Bible?
Yeah, so like, are you prioritizing Scripture? Are you giving them a good Bible? So one of the things we did for a while in a youth ministry program is we would give kids a nice Bible as a part of a retreat. So like before that we would like, they would always give, when they give out Bibles, they would give out the New American Red Bible.
It's like $7.99.
You can find.
No, I think it's like $3.99.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yes. Oh, it is.
Yeah. Well, I think I bought those the wrong
depending
place.
On who you use, you can
who
get
you know.
It, you can get it very cheap, and I seems like Rachel needs a new distributor, a new source of her where she gets her Bibles.
My name is Julia.
Did I say, who did I say?
Rachel.
You said Rachel, but
it's okay.
But I think Rachel needs one too. We'll talk about that.
That's all right. We're fine with that.
Great. Anyways.
So good Bibles.
Yeah,
yes.
Just a good quality Bible. Like, are you show, even before we dive into
are you showing
it,
that this is worth it, right? Like,
I'm
going to give you my $3.99 Bible.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you, the discount Bible because it's so important to us.
And so I also did for when I would hire youth ministers at the parish, I would give them a nice study Bible, Ignatius New Testament study Bible. Because like, look, the Bible is important.
Mm-hmm.
You should have things that help you dive into the Bible and understand it. Like, are we doing that first? Right. I think that is a critical thing as well, because so often we'll jump to like, oh, let's do a really great night. Well, if you're not giving them letting them get into the Bible. I know there was another time where you like encouraged them to bring Bibles or like had Bibles available for them to dive into. Those nights, like maybe it's because we didn't do it all the time, but like our young people loved opening up the Scripture and like looking at us like actually breaking open the Word of God. I think it's almost. Yeah. I mean, it's the Word of God. And so often we don't do it. We just talk about them and their life. And I think so we need to make sure we're covering the Lord, not just their life.
Yeah. We did a semester on Scripture, which I think is important, right? To be in it all the time. Because then people knew to bring their Bibles every single week because we were guaranteed to be through it. But I always encourage people when they're giving talks and they're going to use Scripture to actually bring out their Bible. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, don't just read and say, in the first book of Corinthians, this, and then like read it from their paper. I'm like, no, stop what you're doing. Pick up your Bible so kids see that you use your Bible and read from it. But when we did the semester on scripture, we did do that. We told kids to bring their Bibles, and then we, you know, we rolled out our cart of Bibles that we had available. And I told kids to look at their Bible and see if they had the deuterocanonical books. And I said, if not, this is not a Catholic Bible that you have, which is okay. I said, but why don't you take one of ours home? So like I said, if you don't have a Bible or you don't have a Catholic Bible, like take one of these with you. And this was just like a side thing that many people got excited about. I bought Bible highlighters that don't bleed through the page. Oh. Now, this is just a next level thing. People were so excited about them. And
Julia
so,
was so excited.
Incorrect.
About that.
Well, I mean, that's not incorrect.
I also wanted to see the faces of your, you do middle school. The face of your medical students.
My medical students, yeah.
It's another ministry you're starting. But your middle school students, when you said deuterocanonical.
Deuterocanonical.
Okay, well, I explained like, it to them, too.
I don't know. I've got Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Did she say duty?
Yeah. Your word started with duty.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, really, so many people have a Protestant Bible and they don't know it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So to find, like, hey, this is a Catholic Bible. And so that was really cool. So that day, I think we sent home kids with like 10 or 15 Bibles that like didn't have one. I'm like, well, I use my mom's Bible. I'm like, hey, why don't you take this one and you can write in it? And so every week I said, like, you can't take these highlighters home. I said, but at the end of the semester, you can. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, mm-hmm. I mean, not the reason they would stick around, but mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to trust you to like give this back every week. And so they would. They'd bring their Bibles. They would highlight the things that we were talking about, and they loved it. Like you said, it's like, yep. It's like uncovering a new world in some ways, because I feel like oftentimes what they hear is at Mass, and if they're not paying attention at Mass or they're whatever that is, but to dive in a different way and find so much of the Bible that really is still relatable to their lives. I think they hear that and they're like, well, this was so long ago and their lives were so different and it doesn't make sense. But like which books have you actually looked at? And like, yeah, getting them to understand that this is a place where they can find a home.
Yeah, I could go on forever.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So,
did you bring your Bible?
Another thing that you need to do, it's behind you. Another thing that you can do with this is, I thought of it when you said people bring out their Bible. I think more than just quoting the Bible,
mm-hmm.
when you, wow, preach.
Yeah, Jake was ready.
Yeah.
More than just quoting from the Bible, I encourage people to tell the story of mm-hmm. the Bible. So like,
not just
this passage, even if you go to Corinthians, like you should be putting in context mm-hmm. of what Paul is saying in this. And then also make sure, you know, he's not just saying to the Corinthians, he's saying to the people of Noblesville or Fishers or mm-hmm. or Seymour, Indiana, or New Albany, Indiana. Like he is talking this to us, but let's give this a context. Mm-hmm. So often we don't do that, and that doesn't spur any of the imagination of our young people about wanting to get into the Bible more.
Because you would never do that, right? If you're going to quote something from Harry Potter, you wouldn't just read a line in the middle of the book
without explaining
what's going on. Yeah. You would never mm-hmm. do that. You would say, well, prior to this, you know, Hermione has said this thing to Ron, and now when you get here, you know this. So, like, absolutely. But when we go to scripture, we so often do that. We just say, well, listen to this beautiful line. It's like, okay, great. But what do I do with it? Where did it come from? Why do I care? So, yeah, I absolutely agree. That's so important.
I'm not usually a huge proponent of this, but I think
Bible,
for middle school,
the
for this idea that I'm about to say.
Oh, okay. I was
give
like,
him a
wow.
chance,
man.
All right, Jake,
wow.
the door's right there.
Yeah. But, I'm glad we're doing this slice for you, Jake. They're convincing you the Bible's important.
Is it working?
Oh, my gosh. So for middle school ministry, I do think to bring that alive, I think the skit, is actually really helpful for illustrating the really key parables and stories of scripture, that bringing that alive, if that's in your skill set.
Or having the team do it.
I think if you have a team or students and you kind of, I mean, you know how I like to do it, is I'll narrate some things and make it all happen. This is not what everybody loves to do, but I think that's one way to bring it to life in some way.
Yeah.
For high school, we always had, look, we don't get to see the students all that often, mm-hmm. right? It's like once a week, we're not going to be able to offer a collegiate level course in scriptural studies. And so I was always aiming a little bit more for devotion and literacy, uh-huh. right? So how do we explain to you that scripture is important, that we foster a love for this? And then the literacy thing, you can't love something you don't know the basics of, at least. Mm-hmm. And so how do you navigate the Bible when, as Paul was kind of saying, instead of just reading a quote from something, you know, it's easy to print off the verse and put it on your page to discuss in a small group or have somebody read that. Instead, to bring your Bibles every time, to open it, to do the painful searching through the different books so that you start to learn the order of things and where to find stuff, that you would, you know, highlight some things from the footnotes that are in whichever Bible that you have to start to gain some of that context. And that if you were to bring a Bible and open it one time for one discussion in every small group that you had over the course of youth ministry, I think you would almost passively develop some of that literacy that we're talking about needing for young people.
One thing that I really loved is at retreats is having scripture be a center point of in small groups, especially of having a Bible, number one, just present, but also utilizing every small group. So inviting a teen who's on retreat even to open it up and pray through scripture, or you have a prayer reflection in your small group that's around a scripture passage, but having that as a visual, but then also actually picking it up and inviting everyone in your small group on a retreat to engage in it in some way. I think helping people be seeped in it throughout a retreat can be really wonderful and just eye-opening, I think, just to, in praying with it too, and not just reading it for knowledge or intellectual gain.
Yeah, Jake, you mentioned, you said devotion.
And literacy.
And literacy. The one I would add to that, which I think is different than devotion, is reverence. And so I think that's another key thing that is important, that we help our young people have reverence for the scripture. So it's just not another book, right? It's not, I mean, and I love the catechism. It's different than the catechism. This is the holy, divinely inspired word of God. That's not, so it's not just the book of answers. It's the Lord wanting to speak to us. And if we just think about how we reverence the word of God, how we reverence scripture in the mass, right? We do
like bow to the altar before you proclaim the word. Absolutely.
And the before we read the gospel, all that is done to make sure we realize that, like, we're going to hear the word of God right now. So I'm not saying that we do an alleluia procession every time we open up the scripture, but like, there are things called Bible enthronements. Like, are you taking time to put the word of God where it needs to be? And I think that also connects to that buying a nice Bible book. The other thing I often suggest is when a family or godparent would call me to be like, what do I get them for confirmation? I say, get them a really nice, make sure you don't get six of these, but make sure you get at least one really nice leather bound Bible. And when you give it to the kid, like, sign the inside and say, like, you don't have to use this right now. This might not be a Bible you pick up right now, but this is I want to give you the divinely inspired word of God, and like, take it with you. Know that this is, you know this can be really important in your life. And they might open that later, and they might open that 10 years from then, like, when they can care for things a little nicer. and it's there, and it's still the same word of God, et cetera. So, like, that'd be one thing I suggest. The final thing, and like I said, this is right in my wheelhouse of coming with ideas, but, and I've seen other people do this, and so you get them that nice Bible, and then at some point, whenever there's a good moment to do this within your ministry, you know, you can take that and almost make it, you have to do this reverently in some ways, but almost make it like a yearbook in terms of having people sign prayers in that Bible for another person. Now, when, especially when you take that Bible to college after ministry, you have a Bible with all the people who are key a part of your faith journey with you. And this idea is not a new idea. This idea my wife had at her.
I was gonna say that's what my Bible is.
I know that's what Julia's Bible is. That's what my wife's Bible is. And so like she took that to college, and like she was able to open it, and like not only was she able to dive into scripture, but like she'd also remembered the people who cared about her and who's on this faith journey together. So like I think that's another really powerful way to like invite people into scripture. Cause even maybe even if that kid is still uncomfortable with scripture, at least they're opening the Bible to see
to
how
read
those
a note
people
from someone.
Read a note of prayer from someone.
Yeah. Honestly, that's one of the reasons why I haven't, I don't own, I would say, like, a really nice Bible. I have my teen Bible that has all of these notes in it from people that I love, and I've like highlighted, and I've done a whole bunch of stuff that someday I think I might transition to a nicer Bible, and that'll just be my, you know, childhood Bible.
Yeah,
but
you don't need You can have more than one Bible.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, believe me, we do. We have many. Yeah. But something else I was going to say that I took a class in grad school that was about comparing the Quran and the Bible. And so through that, I learned a lot about different religions. And for the Muslims, they do not put another book on top of the Quran because for them, it is so holy. And though we have differing beliefs from them, you know, that was something that has just floored me and like really stuck with me for a while is like they would never dream about putting anything on top of it because it is so holy to them. And I was like, I don't think that we do that. Mm-hmm. For most of us, it's, you know, it's a bookend or it is where we put our drink to not get a line on our table. You know, it becomes like a coaster or something like that. It's not, it's just something that collects dust for many people.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, what if we treated it with the same reverence, like you're talking about as the Quran, that we didn't let something else be put on top of it, that we made sure that it stood on its own for people to see, for people to open, for people to experience. And I just love the thought of us getting to a point for that or teaching our youth that this is something so much more than just a heavy book.
Actually, you saying that and Paul, you bringing up the reverence reminds me of John Cavadini.
Love
when
him.
He would present. I, you know, yes, probably had more classes and things with him than I ever did. But I remember one talk that he gave. He brought a very well-worn, clearly well-used Bible up to the front and very tenderly kissed the Bible before he began his presentation. And, you know, if you can't buy a lot of things, if you know, you don't have all the time or the team to make it all work, displaying that reverence yourself can have a pretty huge impact on your young people.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think. So I think we gave you a lot of ideas in a compact slice version of Pizza and Side Hugs. So we thank you for joining us. As always, if you have ideas about Scripture, make sure you can send those to us. Or if you have any questions, we're hoping to do a mailbag episode. This year, so send us your either, you know, one-line questions or maybe a scenario that you're looking for advice on what to do with a parent or a young person or with a pastor or with your horrible diocesan director of youth ministry, whatever.
Hey.
Hypothetical.
Just call me if that's the case.
Let's talk it out.
Yeah, I call her live on the air for the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll do it live here. Please send us an email at pizzasidehugs@gmail.com. You have listened to this because you're on some sort of podcast streaming thing.
Platform.
So platform That's would be a good word. Good word for that. So we would want to make sure that you
subscribe.
And we will see you in the next one.
Slice Bye. You later.
Bye-bye.